Oh, okay. I mean, I never finished Clone Wars. I think we had this conversation before, right? I had a hard time with the animation for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And then when I finally gave into it, I was like, oh yeah, this is a pretty good show. And then by that point, there were so many episodes I was like overwhelmed by it. I was like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when it came to Netflix, I was like, great, perfect, I could watch it. And then I saw that it was like 8 seasons, and I'm like, I'm not going to make it. There's like 25 plus episodes a season. No, I'm not going to make it. I think I saw like 3, and then I'm like, all right, I'm out. I tapped out. I was like,
yeah, you're like, oh, got it. Yoda's badass in this too. Got it. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, all the Jedi died. Got it. He killed all the younglings. Got it.
Yeah. Good for him.
Good for him. Things turned out well for him.
Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week, we will review Sputnik. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts and then go into a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going to talk about what we've been watching. And we decided to do a little mini review of Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead.
Ooh, they're coming to get you, Zack.
We should probably comment on that first, right? Like, are you a fan of Dawn of the Dead? His remake?
Yes. And I have like, it came out when I was in high school, so it was like, holy shit, yes, fuck yeah, you know? And it was like such a great, it was like a refreshing take on the whole series. Mm-hmm. And it was like, his first movie, right?
It was his first movie.
Mm-hmm. It was, mm-hmm. I thought it was awesome. And, I remember thinking like, oh, the sleazy dude, he's like so sleazy. Like, who the hell is this actor? And then I forgot about him. And then I don't know how many seasons of Modern Family I got through before I was like, wait a second. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I worked on a Funny or Die short with Ty Burrell in it. And I remember thinking, oh, the dude from Modern Family. I was like, oh, awesome. What else has he been in? And I was like, no, that wasn't him.
Yeah.
And just so we're clear, in case anybody has any qualms about our conversation in the last episode, we do know his name is Mekhi Phifer now, okay?
Do we call him something else?
No, we couldn't remember his name, and we started calling we're confusing him with Tyson.
Oh my god. We're like what's great is that we can remember really odd, obscure stuff and really odd, obscure movies, but God forbid we don't remember a very popular actor in one of the largest film franchises in the world. We would never remember his name.
Oh, man. Yeah, we just see like an attractive, bald black guy. We're like, oh, Tyson?
Tyson?
Like, clearly one of the two is a way better actor. Sorry, Tyson.
Do you remember when he threatened to leave the Fast series?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, okay,
go ahead if you want.
It's like, that's your payday. That's your living money right there. That's what he makes a living.
Yeah. Luda didn't forget that they both started in the worst Fast movie.
Yeah, no.
That's why people were like, where'd these guys come from? Oh, because you didn't watch the shitty Fast movie. Got it.
You want me to say what? Okay. You want me to do what? Okay. Yeah. That's ludicrous. None of that has to do with Army of the Dead, but what did you think of Army of the Dead?
Oh, man. I thought it was like an early 2000s video game movie. That's what I thought it felt like.
Yeah.
It was too long.
Yeah.
I will say there was like moments where I was like, oh, okay, it's getting really badass now. And then they didn't like pan out. They didn't. They just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
There's just too many dumb decisions being made for the sake of like a sacrifice or like. Okay. To be clear, this is like not even close to the worst movie I've ever seen. Right. It was still entertaining in some respect. And I got to say, like, Raul Castillo being in it, you know, McAllen native, we're from the RGB. Yep. He's a buddies of ours, right? He did a fantastic job, and it was just, like, fun and great to see him in a movie like this with fucking Batista.
What did you think? What did you, real quick, what did you think of Batista? Like, are you a fan of his? Do you like
him? I'm a fan of Batista. I think he could be a really good actor. Not necessarily in this. And I'm not even sure what could have helped him because it wasn't his fault. It was just such a... It was poorly written, Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
It was like very poorly written.
I'm going to float a take. I want you to get your first opinion about it. So I was watching Army of the Dead, and I was looking at Batista. And I like him in the movie. He didn't do much in this movie. He didn't have much of anything going on besides whatever basic plot was constructed from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Loki had this brilliant casting decision. Now, I think he could, if done correctly, he could probably be like the next Snake Plissken. What do you think?
Ooh.
Seeing as the Escape movies and Kurt Russell in general is one of your favorite actors.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. So, that's why this one's tough for me to say.
Let's preface that. Like, because we always talked about, like, The Rock was going to do an Escape movie, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm kind of glad that didn't pan out, honestly.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. True. I don't think he's not the right person for that part. But what about Batista, the other wrestler? What about Batista?
Yeah, maybe.
We're only casting wrestlers. And let's say let's sweeten it. Let's say John Carpenter gets a pass on the script.
Okay,
like a rewrite. Yeah, yeah.
Damn. I don't know. I just in my head, Snake Plissken, like Kurt Russell already like solidified Snake Plissken's sort of like thing and demeanor, and. Mm-hmm. I feel like Batista is too big and too bulky because like one of the more ongoing jokes in the Escape series is everybody always assumes Snake Plissken would be like bigger. That was like an ongoing joke in Escape from LA. Like, oh, I thought you'd be bigger. I don't know.
I just feel like it should be like Ethan Hawke. Yeah, of course. It should be Ethan Hawke without question. Yeah. I just got the idea because he just looks really odd. I just feel like the setup of this movie, to go back a little bit, the setup of this movie is very like Escape from New York, right? Like he's a soldier, has this reputation, whatever, like amazing soldier that they want him to do this like death mission, basically, right? Like they want him to recover the money from a vault. And I feel like him being really docile, kind of like I'm a cook or whatever, kind of worked in that Snake Plissken way, which kind of made me think about the movie.
Yeah.
So,
because if we're going to pick somebody, I was going to say, if we can pick somebody from that movie, I think I would maybe lean towards Omari Hardwick.
Okay.
I think he kind of was like that character. He kind of was like a Snake Plissken the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to hear my 10-word plot summary for this? Since it's a mini review, I'm going to do one simple 10-word one.
All right, cool. Hit me.
And ladies and gentlemen, this only works if you've seen or if you've listened to the previous episode.
They got homework now, guys. Yeah. You gotta review anything else.
For Army of the Dead by Zack Snyder, my 10-word review is Train to Busan presents Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead.
Yeah. I love it. I'm surprised he didn't have Zack Snyder presents Army of the Dead, Viva Las Vegas, whatever the fuck.
Oh, man. So I was watching it with Georgie, and at one point I had to, like, pause it. I mean, there's several moments where I had to pause it to, like, really, like, oh, let's talk about this. This is, like,
yeah,
a lot of moments, yeah. Right? But the music, I was like, damn, you can tell it's a fucking Netflix movie because it seems like they only bought the rights to one actual song.
Yeah, it's a lot of covers. Yeah,
a lot of, I mean, a lot of there's covers. Nothing wrong with Richard Cheese, but, like, it's not terribly different from the Elvis Presley version. You know, it's like,
I know,
still got the same crooner's type of, not crooner, but, you know,
Yeah. So I think for me, this movie kind of is what it is, right? It's like a heist movie set in zombie infested Las Vegas. You know what I mean? And one thing I hated really early on was buying into any of, like, the social commentary metaphors.
Oh my God, dude. Zack Snyder is going overboard with this shit. Like,
I almost shut it off. I was like, no, I got to review it later. So, fuck, I got to sit and watch this rest of this movie.
It was almost like somebody was chanting in the background the whole movie, racism, sexism, feminism, racism, sexism, feminism.
It just tries, I think this movie just tries to be like everything to everyone. It never really felt real, like as like present as in anything they were trying to comment on, or if they were trying to comment on anything, never really felt like it was like present in the movie. It just always felt like just whatever, right? Like, I think that it is very like playful and like visually aggressive, and but some of the, like we were just talking about, some of the music cues are kind of like on the nose. Like,
yeah.
Really? Like, you're going to end this movie with the Cranberry Zombies?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, dude. That was another one of those like Zack Snyder things. You know what I mean? Like, he just, some of his music cues have just been, some of them are good. Some are well done. You know what I mean? But some of them are kind of just laugh out loud, I think. Just not very good.
Yeah, I will say, what? And anytime Batista and what's her name, the daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, her name is Ella Purnell. Anytime they had a scene together and they were talking, I was like, oh, fuck, can I skip this? Or I guess I have to listen to it.
Yeah, I was actually really impressed with Batista because he is like a giant dude. You get like his presence in the movie.
Right, yeah.
And even in the fight scenes, like he's kind of, you buy the fact that he's powerful, could knock over a poker table or, you know what I mean, have like this elaborate fight. It was all very believable. I just felt like so much of this movie is running around everywhere. He sort of becomes insignificant.
Yes, you know what I mean? Because, like you said, it tried to be too many things. Like, you try to do too many storylines.
Yeah, too many characters, too many, like, things running around. And a lot of the other characters, his little team he builds aren't as interesting.
No, not at all.
As some of the other ones.
Oh, we got to talk about, now that we have the opportunity, what else can we CGI Tig Notaro in? Because she was fucking fantastic.
Yeah. She was really good.
It made me think, like, damn, because they got sort of a similar vibe. Can we CGI Tig Notaro into Parks and Rec just to see what it's like instead of Adam Scott? What was that? And just like change him out.
Well, I'm not a fan of Chris Pratt, so maybe could we?
It's good. They like Tig Notaro and Adam Scott have like a very similar vibe. I caught from this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, she was great. I think hilarious. That was really smart casting, and like just her and she had the fun role, right?
Yeah.
She had the one that she cuts all the one liners, and she's a comedian, so she has that natural like way of delivering the material, the lines and stuff. So
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if she actually made some of the stuff up on herself, or you know what I mean, like how to
and it you know, sucks play that
some of the dialogue
they had to Alan Tudyk all the serenity her at the end. Spoilers, right?
Yeah, everybody's dead. Well, remember, we're on the five week ahead plan here.
Oh, yeah, so it doesn't matter.
Say whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
Because everybody's dead, like it's so appropriate. Because according to that ending, that mother, that this dumb daughter, because I hate to say it, like her character is so fucking stupid. Her character is pretty much the reason everybody's dead.
yeah.
Like, she didn't have any concern about the mom after the plane crash, the helicopter crash, I mean, and I didn't see her at all after the crash. So I don't know if that lady survived to go back to her kids. We don't know if her kids are alive. It seemed like a real, very divisive part of the story.
Yeah, like it didn't find a way to like end. You know what I mean? Like,
it just, it was weird. Oh, except with Omari like doing his thing and like excited to be alive with all the money, but he got bit, right?
Yeah. So, what did you think of the alpha zombies? Because
I thought the idea was cool. I thought. Mm. Okay, I think Zack Snyder should stop trying to DP things he directs.
oh, yeah. Okay.
The soft focus thing? Jesus.
Oh, my God, dude. That's exactly what I was going to say. I hated the soft focus in this movie. Yeah. It is super distracting. It hurt my eyes a little. Like, I thought I was, like, Batista. But did you notice how Batista is constantly, like, squinting in this movie? That's how I felt. Yeah. Like, I was constantly just like, this something's wrong with my glasses.
So apparently he bought like a bunch of these lenses that were discontinued in the 80s, like something dream something lenses for I don't know what, to get this specific look. And I was like, why, dude? Mm-hmm. What a waste of money. That better have come out of his pocket.
I think honestly, like, he really should work with the DP next time. Yeah. I mean, he's worked with one of the most legendary DPs, Larry Fong.
Yeah.
And he has a low-key cameo in it. He's the musician ad. It's his Fong time or something.
Oh, like, okay.
He's the DP, and he's shot a lot of the early stuff for Zack Snyder, and his movies were better than they were now. I feel like he's drifting into like a Michael Bay territory.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, because is like seriously, stop DPing, and you're buying all these lenses that were meant for. Never meant for a digital camera.
Yes, true.
What are you doing?
I hated that soft. Yeah. I hated the soft focus. It gives it like actively was so awful. I could not stand it.
God, can you imagine the editor was probably just like, I can't fix this. Like, if you
probably
just,
did it himself.
Yeah, I could have done this for you.
Yeah. No. I think honestly, like. We were saying, like, I think the most unique thing is like that king and queen zombie dynamic they have there.
Right.
They're kind of like,
oh,
and that there's other.
Sorry, that's what I was going to mention. When they pop up the first time, and this is what I'm saying, like, Zack Snyder, don't DP your own thing, because he lingered on the queen, like, walking away for way too long. And I was like, oh, okay, now it's like an awkward Cirque du Soleil performance over here.
Yeah. No, I get that. I totally get that. Cool. Did you have any, maybe some last thoughts you'd like to give or anything, share anything else?
I want to say, I feel like people maybe should watch it for certain actors. It's not okay. Mm-hmm. It's like a somewhat entertaining movie. I'm not going to say it's my favorite movie. Actually, what's your opinion on this? Which one is better, Sucker Punch or this movie?
I don't think I've ever seen Sucker Punch.
Oh. It's not my favorite movie, and it's got a bunch of people I love in it, too. Like, they were all good actors in it, for the most part.
I like that Carla G...
Guggenheim?
She's good.
Yeah, she's amazing. I love her. Oscar Isaac.
He's in it?
Yeah, well, anyway. He plays the main bad orderly dude.
Oh shit! I've never seen it. So, and you know what's funny? Both these movies are like his like dream projects. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe I gotta watch Sucker Punch and try to compare and contrast. But I think overall for me, I mean, I think this movie is just it's not enough fun in the movie. It's too long. Yeah. There's too many things going on, and it's just there's a lot of Snyderisms. I think it will be a popular vernacular, and as we talk about his movies, you know what I mean? Like just. What he does, he's becoming Michael Bay. Like Michael Bay is a kind of like a word we use to describe a certain type of, you know, movie or action movie.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely falling into that realm now. Oh.
Would you say it's fair to say I mean, this might go over wrong, but he's trying too hard to be an ally, and now he's coming across as like white savior complex when he's like doing this fucking right. Like, there was a moment where I was like, this is so in your face feminist that I'm starting to think like there's some sort of negative thing coming out of this, right? What is that?
I don't know. I don't understand where he's going with this. Because, yeah, you have these moments where, like, you have these big moments of feminism, but then you have these, like, shots of, like, freedom, of, like, people taking temperatures and stuff like that. Like, how that guy symbolizes sort of a negative take on, like, why they're taking her temperature, if your temperature below a certain thing. And it's like, what is he trying to say? Like, he's mixing so much of his commentary and metaphors. And I even think they even talk about, didn't they mention something about like a vaccine or something? Or I don't remember. They're imprisoning people in cages.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know, dude. It's just like, it's just a lot of, it's like you watch CNN one day and just wrote down stuff and just put it in a script. You know what I mean? Like, none of it meant anything. It doesn't add, it doesn't ground it. It doesn't add any like realism to the story, and which I don't,
he also,
which is why you may want to do stuff like that. But
he also changed the dead narrative. So according to this world, it's only in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Which is weird. And the like the zombies are super soldiers? Is that what, right? Or the main dude, the Zeus character, is his name Zeus, I think?
Yeah, they name him, his character name is Zeus, yeah.
He's like a super soldier? Is that the idea? He's like a zombie super soldier?
Yeah, it's not clear. Yeah, he's obviously with some sort of like project or something.
Yeah, weird.
Why they're moving him, I don't know. Who knows?
And also, Zack Snyder, you fucked up by not making Chambers the fucking hero of that movie. She had the most badass fucking not getting killed by zombies thing. Yeah. And then she just like lets herself die. I remember somebody in one of the reviews said like, it was such a cool thing. Like, she just refuses to die. And then it looked like she just kind of let herself die. And none of the people that were hanging back, and it was like Grohl's character, like nobody decided to shoot the other zombies. Like, they're already aware, right? They can all hear.
Yeah.
Help her. She made it that far.
Yeah. That was a cool moment that went nowhere.
Yeah.
So,
and then, Dave Bautista is like, oh, let's give him a love interest. That's what it felt like. Cause it came out of nowhere. My opinion. I was like, okay, they didn't need this. And it was like, why'd you do this, Zack Snyder? Are you going to kill her right now? And she gets her head fucking snapped. Yeah. I was like, oh, all right, fine.
All right, Zack Snyder.
Why don't you just kill Dave Bautista too? Oh my God, Zack Snyder, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, no.
You let the one character that's going to ultimately have to live with their regret of killing everybody there proxy her decisions. Anyway, enough of this. Moving on to our other movie, Sputnik. It's way better. All right, thank you.
before we get to our review, I wanted to play a little trailer, a space opera. Amazing space opera. Intro. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's spin it.
Space. The last place you ever find a guy like me. These are my tails, and they are my crew. Ghouls, aliens, espionage, and sexy outfits, all a part of our journeys. Welcome to Major Goose's Secret Tales. Featuring Feather Gooseneck as Yolanda. Benny Gooseneck as Cheeto. Jenny Gooseneck as Martha. Lonnie Gooseneck as Boom. Ronnie Gooseneck as Miss Doctor. And Jimmy Gooseneck as Major Goose. Today's episode, Stuck in Space.
Space?
Oh boy, Hancock.
Jimmy fucking Gooseneck. You've wow. got to be fucking kidding me.
Major Goose Secret Tales.
And is like his family is, yeah, his family is in it.
So is he a goose or a geese? He's geese a family, right?
Oh yeah. I think that's a murder of the geese is what it's called. When it's a lot of them, you murder the geese. I'd watch that.
Yeah. It sounds amazing. Trippy, trippy stuff. Really cool.
Man, if YouTube was around back then, you could have pitched it.
I know. You would have gotten 23 episode seasons as they do on YouTube.
All 45 minutes long.
All 45. All right. John, you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary. Rolando, drum roll, please. Oh, for Sputnik. Directed by Rolando. I forgot his name too. Igor Abramenko.
I think it's pronounced Igor.
Oh, is it?
No.
I don't know. Egor. 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 Sorry, I'm not making fun of your name. We just don't know how to say it. Sorry.
Sorry, we're not cultured. Yeah.
Sputnik.
Sputnik.
Which I didn't know until I was like, oh, what let me, I need a little more back history on Sputnik, but Sputnik actually itself means companion or fellow traveler.
Whoa!
Yeah.
I did not know that. I was gonna ask about that. Why the fuck was this movie called Sputnik? Yeah. I had no idea.
And it's real on the nose, but you gotta know the language, I guess. All right, I've got 5 of them again.
All right, hit me.
Let's see. Coming in at number 5 for Sputnik. And this one I'm going to have to explain. I know I am. Annelid species versus Soviet army. So, ladies and gentlemen, Annelid is the coffee worm aliens from Men in Black.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Coming in at number 4, I have No One Wants Their Kids.
Okay. Yeah.
Coming in at number 3, I have Out of Hand Tapeworm.
He went to Mexico. Not space. Got the worm.
Same shit if you get the right tequila. All right.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 2, I have Doctor Remembers Being Little Boy.
So that works because you already got me. You already explained some stuff for me. Okay, so. Good. Yeah. Good. That would work.
Coming in at number 1, Cosmonaut Feels Alien on Earth.
Yeah. I was waiting for Russian Venom. No, or
yeah, Russian Venom. That's true. Soviet USSR creates Venom.
Yeah, that's just where my reptilian superhero brain goes. Like, this is a Venom origin story.
Edward Brakovich.
Brakovich.
Watch that not even be Russian. Yeah. I'm just insensitive to the culture. That's okay, right? Because Soviet Union, right? USSR, it's okay. We don't really talk about it, right? It's like, it happened.
It's over.
Nobody cares anymore.
Over.
Yeah.
USSR's dead. Yeah. No, it's gone. Nobody cares. Okay, cool, John. What's your first thoughts? I'm gonna give you your first thoughts.
I really like this movie. It was like right up my alley. Like the perfect style of slow burn, but it's not really. I mean, it's just more of a trauma movie more than it is a horror film, I would say. I mean, it's definitely got horror elements. It's definitely a creature feature too. Yep. Which I told you, I did read like a quick interview with the director, and the dude obsesses over 80s science fiction, like space movies. So this was like his like homage to like that style.
E.T. Got it.
E.T. Which I was going to say, like, it definitely has like that the way John Carpenter did 50s creature features, but like in the 70s and 80s and, you know.
Right, yeah.
I was going to say so on, but we can probably stop there. I love you, John Carpenter, but we can stop there.
The 90s was a hard year for everybody.
We don't talk about Ghost of Mars.
Or what is it, Vampires?
Oh, right. Oh my, with James Woods, right?
James Wood, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. Oh, and the wasn't the bad guy the bad guy from The Crow, right? Oh, what's his name? Shit.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. And he didn't even have to change anything about himself. He just like went straight from that role to the next role.
Like, wow, your makeup's really good. It's like, what makeup? What makeup?
Yeah,
you know, like, yeah. Look at this.
Yeah, no, I fucking love, I really loved this movie. It was so cool. I don't know. I was very surprised. What'd you think?
I really liked it. It's like a B movie, kind of B movie, science fiction-ish. But I think the script does a lot of really great things. I think it really focuses on its main leads, you know what I mean? Like Tatiana and her sort of like unorthodox medical style, you know what I mean? The way she tries to approach people. And her sort of butting up against like the government, the sort of like male centric government. Cause I think she was like, aside from like that other nurse, she was like the only other female pretty much predominantly through this movie. I think there was one more female in smaller parts, but she was like main focus lead character. There weren't anybody other. And she kept like having to deal with these men who were kind of like standoffish to her. And, oh God, I'm going to ruin this name, but the military guy, Sem Radov. I thought I really liked that he was kind of like this military man kind of through and through, kind of he believes in his country blindly and what they're trying to accomplish. And of course, like the guy who's actually infected, who is like a hero, quote unquote, in Russia, whose life is kind of was not what it seems, right? Like he has all this really kind of like, he did a lot of like things that were kind of unlikable throughout his life and stuff like that. So,
right. Yeah.
And I think there's a good duality there between those three characters. And I think they did a really good job of focusing and just like spending a lot of time with them to kind of flesh out a lot of their stories while also having, you know what I mean? A really really thought out, creature design. And I really like that the creature crawls out of the host's mouth. I don't know if this is spoilers or not, but I really feel like anytime the creature was in any scene, I was like, I feel like the film like picks up, right? Like whether it's like eating people, killing people, or it's just like, just, you know, in its habitat or in its little enclosure. Like I really thought that, that part of the movie was kind of the most interesting. Okay. And I think that, like, I think that it's like you said, it's a creature feature that isn't just about, like, jump scares or, like, fast-paced, like, ugh, got you kind of vibe. It's like a character study, and it's very subtle on its, like, mood with, like, very violent moments throughout. Yeah. I thought it was pretty gory, you know? I think that's where that horror element, I think, is kind of sprinkled in there as well. I the only thing is, I don't know if it completely reached a balance of both, because you have kind of like this drama and then you have like a creature feature, and there was kind of like a give and take on both.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cause I did, what I really enjoyed about it was this whole journey you take with the lead, actress, the doctor, because you don't learn anything until she learns it. And then,
right.
So you kind of feel like that confusion because you know that there's an alien involved. There's no question about it. That's the opening scene. And you know that this cosmonaut is already like a tortured guy because he's talking about it right before they land on Earth with his like fellow astronaut dude. And then when she joins the movie, then it's really just about following her. And once she starts to figure out certain things, it becomes such a like thriller. There's like always this tension going on. So even when like the conversation should be kind of boring, there is always this like, okay, is somebody going to kill somebody? What's going on here?
Right.
There was no Zack Snyder conversations.
I just real quickly, I want to be clear, like B movie. I don't mean that like as a dig on it, because I don't think this movie, like it tries to be very like serious in its subject matter. I just think the in our how we speak about Me Boom B movies, we speak about them as if they're lower in quality, lower in, you know, than say a something else, you know, like a top notch movie. I think what I mean is like it's sort of like in the 50s there would be matinee shows. It would be like, you know, all these science fiction. They'd play like science fiction. They'd play like horror monster movies, and that's kind of where I mean B movie. You know what I mean? Okay, yeah. It sits in that genre.
I also took it like if you could say it's low budget only because it's obviously a contained movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like that place they shot at actually did look like that. It's one of the oldest like science education buildings somewhere. So it was built, I forgot when, but it's supposed to reflect the Cold War era, like which this movie takes place during the Cold War.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because the movie was like gorgeously shot and like the 80s setting was, I thought, incredibly well done. Like the whole movie kind of feels cold, uninviting. And I feel like a lot of the characters are that way too. A lot of the characters are like, at the beginning, trying to hide who they are and like just trying to navigate the situation that they're in, because right, everyone's kind of hiding something. So I think that's
Every single person in this. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So I feel like there's the setting and the way the script plays out was pretty well matched. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it. Yeah. I feel like we should probably just go into spoilers because it's like, oh, I want to mention something, but. Because there's like a lot of reveals that give a lot of revelations to what happened before.
Yeah, you got to walk me through that ending because you definitely like caught some stuff I did not. That was boo, just flew over my head. So, all right, let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. Because how'd you feel about the astronaut was aware the whole time, but he's just gaining more of a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
And then for a second there, I was like, oh, why are they going this direction? Where he becomes kind of like, oh, I don't care. I kill these people. It doesn't matter. Blah, blah, blah. But, then he finishes it off with saying, because I am a monster, that's who I am. So this guy like can't cope with everything that's already going on in his life, and this is just like the icing on the cake, right? Yeah. I thought that was awesome because I really enjoyed what happens at the end. That's like my favorite type of creature feature is when one of the good guys becomes one of the bad guys to become a hero. I like movies like that.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like King Kong, right? It's like the original King Kong. Right? Like yeah. It's the beauty killed the beast sort of deal. You know what I mean? It's like the monster, you empathize with the monster.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what they set out to do with his character. And I really liked it, actually. I really liked that there was, to explain, like he has a monster inside of him, and at night he's able to regurgitate him out of his mouth. The monster is like a living... has like a sim, like what do they call it, like a connection with each other.
Yeah.
They're able, even though he's passed out, the creature still feels what he feels and thinks what he thinks. It has all the same memories and feelings. So of course, as the relationship between the lead and the cosmonaut or whatever, like she's able to communicate to him because of the relationship they've been building. So
and she was also, I mean, that's the ending explains this, but she was also able to help this guy come to terms with stuff because she was able to sympathize with what his, like, out of wedlock son was going through.
Yeah. So he had he was what is it, like a Russian hero astronaut, didn't unknowingly had a son, and he was placed in an orphanage. And throughout the movie, we think we're seeing like cutaways or like flashbacks or like in the moment times of a kid in an orphanage trying to escape in a wheelchair. But then you kind of perfectly explained what that was.
Oh yeah, yeah. And the reason I caught it right away was only because I should explain what we're talking about. Nobody knows what we're talking about. so yeah, there are these cutaway moments where you think you're seeing the cosmonauts. I'm going to keep calling him the cosmonaut because I don't remember his name.
It's cosmonauts. Just fun to say. When are we ever going to have another chance to call anything that? Yeah.
I'm just going to pretend that I'm obsessed with the band the Cosmonauts now and just mention the Cosmonauts all the time. So, okay, you think you're seeing moments of his son in the orphanage just being a kid, kind of, I don't know, trying to like steal stuff or like he's trying to get something out of something. And that's not really explained, so it's just kind of confusing, but you're kind of just saying like, oh, okay, I guess you're supposed to like empathize with this like poor kid, like this, you know, doesn't know his dad's still alive or maybe does know who his dad is and he thinks he's out in the wild happy because they lied about the astronauts landing on the Earth. What you see when the cosmonaut is quarantined into like a room and he's trying to get some sort of signal on the TV. And since it's the 80s, right, everything's basically made with metal. So he rips down the curtains and makes a huge antenna out of the curtain wire. And he's able to see on the news that they think that his partner and he are doing well and just need to be quarantined for a while to see how their physical health is when they've already been on Earth for like weeks or something, maybe months. I don't really know. The timeline's a little vague. But you know, it's like in a brief period of time. But then at the end, you find out that this little boy that you're seeing the whole time in these like moments are actually memories that Tatiana's having when she was an orphan.
Oh, bum, dun, bum, dun, bum. Dun. Major plot twist.
Because early on in the movie, there's a quick cutaway scene that seems pointless of her bathing in a bathtub and she's got a huge scar on her spine.
Yeah.
So this child who has like a deformed like leg or foot or something, you know, I guess it has something to do with her spine. I mean, they don't explain it. So I'm just make, you know, shots in the dark here about what her diagnosis is. Like. I'm pretty sure she has a severe cold. that's what it was. They took it out of her spine. It was her the whole time, and then that's why she empathized with the child and the father, the cosmonaut, and swore to him, like, I'll take care of your kid. And I was wanting more out of that. I thought there was, like, some sort of, like, huge symbolic gesture that was going on, and I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
But according to the director, he just really wanted to fully embrace everybody's, like, past trauma and how it's all the same. And they're all just fighting different types of like traumas from the past. That's
okay. Yeah.
Just cool. Yeah. It was
all of that just flew. I mean, I think I never caught any of that. I honestly believed it was just the same boy and I never made the connection.
Oh,
and it could just be me just like not connecting the dots on it, you know, not paying attention because it's a very subtle movie.
Yes.
It's a very like quiet movie. It's not like loud kind of movie that pull your attention in. So something like that, the subtlety between the kid they cast to play the kid at the end and then whoever the kid is with the wheelchair, I just assumed it was the same person.
Right. And there's also like a couple of red herrings throughout the film. Mm-hmm. One in particular is they go into... She takes the cosmonaut aside and they go for a run outside, right? This is after she gets bit by the alien because she startles the alien. She's having a jog with him outside and explains to him like, hey, there's an alien in you, blah, blah, blah. Like, we got to figure something out. And then immediately the cosmonaut like turns around like, oh, okay, I'm tired. I need to go this way. And he's like, all right, just meet me, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then he explains like, no, I know. I've known since I got back. It's just like, what do you think they're trying to do to me? Like, you know, I gotta figure out what to do so I can get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I forgot where I was going with that. The movie's great. Love it. All right. See you next week.
All
right. You know, that moment where they do like a bunch of like, secret, like sneak into the room where his astronaut buddy is like being quarantined, and then there are all these like x-rays of all these people. And one of the x-rays, like you see a foot like kind of canted. So I thought like, okay, so for sure he's this little, maybe he's the little kid that we're seeing and it's not like his son. I was trying to gather something like that, but I think it was just to throw you off.
Right. Yeah.
Which probably wasn't necessary, honestly.
Yeah, no, I did a lot of those. Again, like a lot of this movie is very subtle. So it's like you got to, plus it's in Russian.
Yeah.
Like I had the movie on for like a good 10 minutes and it never broke into English. So I was like, oh, fuck, I got to put the subtitles on. Yeah. So I was like, fuck, put the subtitles on, restart it, because I don't know what the fuck was going on. So I had to do that. So it's definitely like you're watching, you're reading. It's that sort of, you know, like a subtitle movie. So a lot of those, like, and because it's so subtle and you're reading the movie, you want to catch like all the dialogue and stuff like that. I kind of got lost a little bit in the movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that happening. I mean, because like if there's one language that's super foreign to us, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I believe this is no, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, talking about the cinematography again. Yeah, it was fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, the design, Everything about it was gorgeous. The space part at the beginning, I was like, holy shit! Like, is this what I'm in for? This is like, looks amazing.
You know, it was really engaging, and like, I really love the score. I forgot to mention that. Loved
the music was fucking amazing. Yes,
right. It just
It was just a well made, like everything had the right elements. Like, I don't know, it was good,
really good. Yeah,
which I gotta say, this was a random. I googled like a 2020 movies real quick before we were gonna decide on this movie, and I was like, yeah, Sputnik, why not?
So, you know, about that, when I saw the trailer, you're showing me the trailer, I was thinking, oh, okay, well, this is like Aliens, right? But in space. And once they're in, you know, the movie, I was thinking, oh, it's like a haunted house movie, aliens kind of vibe thing. I was like, okay, cool, it seems fun. But it's not, it's totally not at all. Like, it's very like character driven. It's you know, the creatures apart, it kind of reminded me of like Splice a little bit.
Splice, and also that movie Life. Did you ever watch that movie Life? The Jake Gyllenhaal and Seamus McCarthy shot it.
No, I never saw. Let me check that one out.
It kind of had that vibe too.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, like it definitely had some really cool elements to it. Cool. Just move on to ratings. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. Oh man, this is a tough one. I don't want to like overdo it, but I really, really like this movie. Yeah. fuck it. I'm going to give it 9 sexy spooky bones.
Oh, wow. That's very sexy and spooky.
Nice. I can just see myself rewatching this, and then the more like I understand what the dialogue is, the more I'm probably going to be like, oh, this movie's such a cult classic in my head now, I think. I'm seeing it happen that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I will give it, I'm going to go a little down. I'll go 7 sexy spooky bones. Definitely worth checking out. For me, the only thing that I'll give it a little like knock on was just, I think the pacing is kind of like, and the fact, and if you're looking for like a creature feature, which is kind of what I thought it was going to be, like action creature feature thing, it's totally not that. And if you're ready for one thing and the other thing's happening, you know, that I don't know if like he completely like mixed them together. So, but I did really like it. I enjoyed it very much. So yeah, so I would give it 7 sexy spooky bones.
Nice.
Cool. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Army of the Dead sucked.
Skeleton crew, it's time.
The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to.